Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours.
Well, I hope everybody had an excellent Christmas, holiday season, whatever you're out there celebrating. I hope you enjoyed yourselves, and I hope you took a moment to be kind to those around you in the spirit of the holidays. But today, of course, everyone's out to try to distract you. And as we pointed out so many other times before, it seems, while, I could have shown you about 100 pictures in a row right here. But while every other station that I can find is right now telling you that apparently the most important story anywhere is that I guess Donald Trump decided to visit Iraq. Every station, Fox, CNN, you know, both sides of the false two-party paradigm, all of them saying the same thing. Look at Trump, he's in Iraq. Isn't it interesting how every single one of them is telling you the same story? Even though they all pretend to have different agendas, different concepts they're trying to sell to you, every single one of them is saying, Trump visits Iraq, let's talk about that. Now, I'm not saying that it's not, to some degree, there's some commentary that could, you know, that might be given on this topic. But the fact that every single one of these groups is showing you this as their front page story, all while ignoring the fact that, you know, Israel just attacked Syria. And the fact that I guess apparently so did the U.S. coalition as they pretend to be pulling people out, while Yemen is still under attack, regardless of the false ceasefires they continue to put into in front of you, all the lies they're telling about Yemen. Yeah, that's still going on. They want you to focus on all of this instead of what's actually going on. And you know, the government shutdown carries on, and they want you to only focus on a $5 billion dispute about a wall while they're spending $1 trillion on war. You know, they all agree on that. And they want you to focus on these things. They want you to focus on the fact that a fraction of the spending in regard to a wall, in regard to a dispute between Democrats and Republicans, that, you know, driving the discussion about the shutdown, they want you to focus on that while they spend billions on more ships that we don't need, including yet another aircraft carrier where we already own 9 more than the next closest country. And you know, own half of the world's total, mind you. And if you focus on the graph there, you can see that the U.S. currently has 55 more carriers just, you know, sitting around decommissioned. 11 of the world's aircraft carriers, you know, Russia and China owning one, while the U.S. owns 11, which is half of the total of 21 in the world. And they want to spend more millions, billions on these ships while they want you to think just this $5 billion dispute is what's most important. It's all about distraction, people. They want you focused where they want you focused. That's why they drip out these stories in the mainstream media that then the alt media takes to discussing. Let's all pick apart what they said and show you why they're wrong. And while we ignore what's really going on behind the scenes. Today, I would say it's clearly the fact, and as of yesterday, that Israel is attacking Syria. So is the U.S. coalition. They want you distracted while bombs keep dropping all around the world in your name with your tax dollars, writing your legacy as an American, regardless of what you believe. And all this happening regardless of the government shutdown. And that's an important point that someone said the other day that I've made before, that regardless of the fact that the government's partially shut down, the one thing that just won't, for sure won't stop is the bombs being rained all over the world, despite the fact that that could save us lots and lots and lots of money while they're accomplishing basically nothing as it pertains to the average American. They want you to think differently. They really want you to think differently. But it's important to just look at this simple graph and see the absurdity of spending more money on something that we have 55 of just milling around. We already own 11 more than most countries, 9 more than the next closest, which is Italy, that has 2. Meanwhile, they're saying, Russia, China, how dangerous. I'm not saying they're not dangerous. But the absurdity of spending this much money while they want you to focus on one small aspect has to wake people up to the distraction going on. But let's get into the big story. What's really happening today? What's really going on that happened over Christmas, which is just despicable when you think about it. This first place I saw coming from South Front, Syrian Air Defense Forces repel Israeli airstrikes in western Damascus on Christmas. On Christmas. How wonderful is that? Truly, truly wonderful. And how's this, in, you know, in case those that may not, you know, be fond of South Front, here's on Zero Hedge and many other places. Kavork Kalmasian, Syrian Analysis, reported on this, one of the first I saw actually on Twitter. Israel strikes Syria in first attack after U.S. announces pullout on Christmas. They make use of these. They make sure that you're likely going to be doing something else, that people like myself may be distracted by the holidays and not be willing to point this out. Because as we just showed as we began, every single mainstream station out there is not telling you this is important. Let's look at Trump. He's in Iraq. As I said, I showed you about 9 pictures in a row. Wall Street Journal, New York Times, CNN, MSNBC, NBC, CBS, all of them the same thing. I'm not saying they didn't leave in some little small part on the back of their website, as it were, you know, as it used to be, page, you know, the back page of the paper before it was online, pretending this is something they talked about, even though they know no one's going to look at that. They're not telling you this story is important. And it is probably the one of the most important things happening right now. It's revealing, and hopefully people can see that. Now, on Christmas Day, again, which is absurd, Israel launched its first airstrike in Syria since Donald Trump's announcement that he would withdraw U.S. troops from Syria. As it does, and it does seem these 2,000 troops are going to be leaving, but as we continue to point out, that does mean that's a token force in regard to what the U.S. is ultimately doing in Syria. I'm always happy to see Americans no longer wasting their lives on such a ridiculous agenda that has nothing to do with what's right for Americans. I'm happy to see U.S. troops coming home. And that also shows you the absurdity of mainstream media pretending that this is such a terrible thing. How dare we save American lives? Now, according to Syrian and Russian officials, the airstrike was launched from Lebanese territory. Now, air defense has intercepted most Israeli missiles, according to state-run Syrian Arab news agency reporting. However, pro-occupation sources are reporting that 3 targets were hit, including weapons depots belonging to what they would claim is Iran and Lebanese Hezbollah proxies, regardless of the fact that Iran is allowed to be in Syria. Because I guess that just doesn't matter anymore. The U.S. and all of their Western-backed forces are not allowed to be there. They're breaking international law. Iran's been welcomed there, so they have a right to be there. Nonetheless, they want you to believe that just because Iran's there, it justifies an illegal strike on Syria. And they go on to say that projectiles had fallen in the Israeli-occupied section of the Golan Heights as well. Now, in response to the U.S.'s decision to withdraw, Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu said that the IDF would, quote, increase efforts, as we recently reported, against Tehran's entrenchment in Syria. You know, not just to Syria, not attacking Damascus or anything, or not attacking the capital of Syria. No, we're going after Iran. So anything we do from here forward is about Iran, so just look the other direction, is what they're trying to tell you. Israel reportedly launched 6 F-16 fighters from Lebanese territory to carry out this strike. Now, the Russian Ministry of Defense claimed that 14 of 16 missiles launched by Israel had been intercepted, and that the strike had occurred while civilian planes were landing at nearby Damascus airport, threatening innocent lives. Similar to the Illusion 20 Russian plane, where they did the same thing. Now, some projectiles also fell in the Israeli-occupied Golan Heights, as I said, which shows you kind of, I'm not sure how to take that, whether that's a mistake on their part or if this is something else. The story's still developing, but it's an interesting addition. Now, Israel has yet to acknowledge this strike at all, which is usually what they do. They rarely acknowledge their actions in this regard because they know they're not going to get any international pressure because they basically own and control the United Nations with the United States. And so they can't get anything to actually happen against them. So they can just strike out and attack anyone they want with impunity. Just say, well, Iran's there, so it's okay. But it's interesting to think of the S-300s in this regard. And how this plays out. I mean, obviously, it's all propaganda from both sides. The idea that any one country could have one thing that would just simply stop everything, as they're saying, well, they better not attack because our S-300s will stop everything. It's, you know, clearly they claim they stopped 14 of 16. But the real important point here is that Russia has promised that if Israel attacks like this, that they will respond in kind with Syria. So this could be the beginning of something much more profound. We'll have to wait and see if Russia yet again shows some restraint or if they indeed decide to strike back in Israel, which would be, of course, used as Russian aggression despite the fact that they're responding to an aggressive attack. That's just how they spin these things. We'll have to wait and see. Now, in regard to the planes, the civilian planes, which I think is probably one of the most important parts of this story, this coming from 21st Century Wire, revealed Israel's IDF used passenger airliners as cover during Christmas Day attack on Damascus. Now, just think for a moment if Assad And, you know, the evil Syria had used American airliners full of civilians to sneak attack somebody, risking the lives of those civilians on the planes. Just think about what the mainstream media would be doing right now. Crying crocodile tears and thinking, oh, how sad and disgusting it is. How dare they risk our lives? But they ignore it when it's in the other side because it's Israel, as always. They're allowed to because I guess Syria's the bad guy, which just means everyone that was ever born in Syria is a terrorist and a bad guy. This is the absurd logic they want you to embrace. But no, we talked about Israel literally risked the lives of a bunch of people simply flying on Christmas, probably flying to see their families so they could attack Syria in hopes that they could use them as defense, the same way they used the Illusion 20 Russian plane that went down to block the shot of Syrian's defenses while they attacked Syria. Now, Russian Ministry of Defense has actually confirmed that the IDF jets flew into these firing positions just as two civilian passenger airliners were in the air preparing for their landings into both Beirut and Damascus airports. It's like the exact same thing that happened with the Illusion 20 Russian plane before. Now, as a result, Syrian military defense units did not deploy its surface-to-air missiles and electronic jamming to prevent a tragedy, as they said, because clearly they don't want to shoot down these civilian areas, and instead allowed Damascus Air Traffic Control to divert one of its passenger flights to an emergency destination. Now, the point is that they recognized this as they, before they didn't. They shot and hit the Illusion 20, as they claim, by the way, I can't verify that, because they were trying to hit the Israeli planes. In this case, they recognized the ploy and chose not to fire on them. And the argument can be made that if Israel didn't use these civilians as a shield, that they would have gotten their plane shot down by these S-300s or whatever other defense systems that Syria and Russia are using together. So it seems likely that they use this as a shield to stop that from happening. Now, Israel's IDF would have been fully aware of these passenger airline flights and therefore would have specifically chosen this exact position and timing in order to carry out their air operations against Syria to do what I just explained, to use them as a shield. Now, based on this, one can logically conclude that the IDF placed those civilian flights in danger by using them as a shield, and that the Israeli military used those civilian airline flights to cover what they were doing and increase their odds of executing that, knowing that Syria would be shooting them down in any other situation. Now, in an official statement to the press today, Russian defense spokesman Igor Konishnikov stated, quote, provocative acts by the Israeli Air Force endangered two passenger jets when six of their F-16s carried out airstrikes on Syria from Lebanese airspace, putting that out to the world. Now, had the Syrian military not hesitated and engaged the initial Israeli jets coming in and accidentally hit one of those passenger airliners that the IDF was using as cover, these civilian lives, the international outrage would have been overwhelming. Oh my God, they shot down civilians. Of course, with the Western media most certainly blaming Assad and Putin for the humanitarian tragedy, regardless of the fact that Israel created the circumstances. It's possible that such an incident would have been enough to prompt renewed calls for the U.S. forces to, guess what, remain in Syria or move back into Syria, as it were. Or however it is, in whatever point of flux they're currently in, which would effectively have reversed the announcement made by Donald Trump to withdraw troops from their illegal occupation in northeastern Syria, excuse me. Now, whether this was the motive behind what Israel was doing or not for carrying out this provocative and risky move is up for you to decide. But it seems pretty clear that it very well could have been part of this, that maybe even joint with the United States, the design was to create the circumstances for the U.S. to yet again say, oh, well, we were going to leave, but we have to stay now because Assad's murdering people, which is exactly what happened last time. Remember that false flag that's now been proven to be a false flag that they allowed, either they failed to investigate or created themselves and used as an excuse to move back into Syria, or rather to never leave. But this reckless incident by Israel, it really does follow a familiar and disturbing pattern of using other countries' aircrafts as cover in order to bait Syria's air defenses into hitting the wrong targets or just not to fire while conveniently concealing their own visibility on their enemy's radar systems. Now, this is nefarious, knowing that they're willing to risk the lives of all these civilians to block their attacks. So come read this for yourself and come to your own conclusions. It seems pretty clear to me. This is exactly what Israel has done in the past. So it follows this is exactly what they're doing now. But that's my opinion. Please come to your own. Now, in a interesting tweet by Partisan Girl that I thought was just, it's very relevant, of course, but you could take this for what you will. She's tweeting out an article, and the tweet says, Al-Qaeda praises every attack on Syria by Israel, especially the ones on Christmas. It amazes me how Americans will help Al-Qaeda if someone tells them it's against Iran. Exactly. It's ridiculous. Was Iran behind 9/11? Well, of course not. Even though they tried to make that the case, the New York Times was even forced to retract an entire article where they made that assertion that Iran was behind 9/11. It's been proven not to be the case. They tried to make that the case. That was part of the propaganda that didn't stick. But then she's also alluding to the fact that Al-Qaeda was behind 9/11. I think we also know that's not true. But the point is that they say that. They say Al-Qaeda is behind 9/11, even though they currently work with them in Yemen and protect them in Idlib. They still say that, though, which is absurd, but that's the point she's making. And obviously the article there, Al-Qaeda leader praises Israeli strike on Syria. That's in regard to this recent attack. So even if you want to pretend that they're not working together, even though we know that they are, based on the evidence in front of us, Al-Qaeda is still saying, hooray, good job, you did what we want. There's also another article I chose not to include today, because I didn't want to make this too long, that shows you yet again, even from an Israel publication, confirming that Israel has in fact armed these rebels, Al-Qaeda rebels, moderate rebels, that they've admitted to such. So it just shows you the reality of the situation here in regard to Israel and the kind of groups that we're talking about. You know, otherwise known as U.S. allies, chief U.S. allies, carrying out the real crimes today, going completely ignored by the bipartisan media out there that's supposed to be covering what's really going on. Instead, they're forcing into your face that Trump's in Iraq. Let's talk about that. Interesting. Now, in a related story in regard to Israel that I found to be very interesting. Now, this can be taken a lot of different ways. So take the facts from this and then, take this in any direction you want. But I think this is relevant however you look at it. Netanyahu dissolves Israeli parliament, calls for new election in risky political gambit. And it is risky because it may not work out the way he wants. But I think we can tell based on history and the way that the power structure works today, it'll probably work out in his favor. But this is an interesting thing, talking about, the only democracy in the Middle East and all the nonsense they push, and he's dissolving their parliament. Interesting. Again, but it may actually work to the benefit of a free people. Who ultimately knows? I kind of don't think that's the case. But this could definitely backfire. But this story is definitely relevant. Now, interesting to think about the fact that despite the fact that Netanyahu and his wife have been implicated in several corruption and bribery scandals, just on Monday, Netanyahu and the leaders of Israel's coalition government formally, Israel's parliament, the Knesset party, or however you pronounce that, they dissolved their parliament and are to hold early elections as soon as April, apparently, in order to try and win a broader majority that will allow them to pass a controversial military conscription reform bill. Now, I'm sure there's much more to it than that, from dissolving the parliament in general in hopes of getting a little bit more government control, which is what it comes down to. But this specific bill I found to be very, very relevant. Now, Netanyahu is hoping to pass a bill aimed at making it easier to draft ultra-Orthodox Israelis into the Israeli Defense Force, the IDF, which has, of course, to no one's probably the shock of no one on this show, that it has been struggling in recent years with a shortage of manpower, because people are likely seeing them for what they are today. But most of them are being forced into it, which is also interesting. Now, as it stands, all Israelis must serve at least 2 years in the IDF. But most ultra-Orthodox Jews who study in the country's yeshivas have been exempt from this rule. As I understand it historically, and it might have been different since last time I talked about it with somebody that I know that lived in Israel, the concept is you get to choose between certain, the 2 years in the military is one of the multiple choices. The way this is making it sound is that regardless of what you do, you're going to be forced to work in the military, which is pretty crazy. I mean, just think of that in the context of an American. If you were forced to work in the military for 2 years, that would change the face of this country. That would change who you were. And it's also just completely the opposite of freedom. Now, the new law, if passed, would mandate service from all ultra-Orthodox men except the very best scholars, which sounds subjective and it comes down to what they say. Basically, it means everyone's going to have to serve in the military, it seems. Now, I may be misunderstanding this. Please read it for yourself. Look further. But the reality is they're people that have been exempt from this rule because of their choice to follow an ultra-Orthodox religious path are now going to be forced, regardless, to serve 2 years in the military if this passes. And this is indeed one aspect that they're very clearly trying to make happen. Now, as I said, this may not work out as he hopes. And I kind of hope that's the case. But we'll have to wait and see how it plays out. But the simple concept of Netanyahu, rather their government, dissolving the parliament is just, it goes against everything they pretend that they are and everything the U.S. tries to put forward to the average American that doesn't know any better. Just think if you were forced to work in the military. Think of how the lack of freedom that would give the individual. This is what we're talking about. In the only democracy in the Middle East. And of course, as they're murdering families in Syria on Christmas. You know, a great group of people. Now let's move on to another story coming from the anti-media. This one is interesting in regard to Mattis and, of course, in regard to Syria, which everything we're talking about today is about Syria and Israel for the most part. This entitled, Mattis signs order to withdraw U.S. troops from Syria. So Mattis, even on his way out, didn't actually sign the order, which I'm not surprised that he did, to withdraw from Syria, which is just another step in the direction showing us that at the very least, it seems like they are planning to remove this token group of 2,000 soldiers. But again, as I continue to point out, that does not mean that's a fraction of what the U.S. is currently doing in Syria. From military contractors to the extremist proxies they fund to the special forces that are going to remain regardless. Even U.S. troops are still going to be on the ground. So this is all just a big political stunt. Regardless, it is still a good thing. I'm still very happy to see Americans leaving. To be in a war of aggression, a war of power, has nothing to do with our national interests in any way, shape, or form, regardless of the fact that all of the things they say about them, for the most part, have been proven to be lies. It's all propaganda. But Mattis has signed this, and I think that is a good thing. Now, with just a week left before his new departure date, the updated departure date, Defense Secretary James Mattis has signed the official order to withdraw U.S. troops from Syria. And remember that Mattis is going to be replaced by a former Boeing executive that worked on missiles and lasers and all kinds of things in Boeing and likely has stock and investments in Boeing. And I wonder if that's going to play a factor in his decision-making process. I wonder. Now, Mattis had opposed the withdrawal, of course. We've seen that. And it's seen as a major reason for his resignation. That's debatable. I think that's what most people are making out to be the case. And that could be the case. His letter kind of made it seem that that was part of it. But I think there's more to the story than we're seeing. As usual. Now, the withdrawal will see, as they pointed out, they're claiming 2,000, which is funny because in the beginning, I saw, of course, the mainstream media, like we should be, they don't seem to even do their due diligence anymore. They just regurgitate what they're told. I've seen 3,000, 4,000. I originally heard 2,000. That's what I said when I was on fault lines. But it's interesting to see the variation of the number, which could also mean something. Maybe there's 2,000 more that are secretly staying. This seems like something they would do. But this withdrawal, as they're writing it out, we'll see 2,000 U.S. troops removed from Syria. This is the plan they recently announced. Now, of course, Turkey has made it quite clear that it will be replacing the U.S. in that part of eastern Syria, showing just exchanging NATO occupiers. So, you know, and I have said from the beginning that, in my opinion, this seems like a large part of what Turkey was meant to play in this whole thing. You know, they have to ride the wave of the opinion of the masses. The more that we wake people up and shake them free from the propaganda, the harder it is for them to continue to do these things overseas. So they finally may just be saying, screw it, this isn't worth it at the moment. But we can still just let Turkey take over and continue to occupy Syria. Now, that also may be an oversimplification. I think there's much more. Turkey clearly has its own agendas, clearly has the things it wants to accomplish. But in a larger scheme, we're exchanging one NATO occupier for another. That's a simple fact. Now, Trump has issued a series of statements since Mattis's resignation. And, you know, Trump's move to force him out sooner than he planned. And now he's openly criticizing Mattis, saying that Mattis did not see a problem with the U.S. subsidizing the militaries of rich countries or allowing them to take total advantage of the U.S. and our taxpayers on trade. Well, aside from the trade comment, Trump pretends like removing 2,000 people from Syria all of a sudden is no longer subsidizing the militaries of rich countries. So are we going to continue to fund Yemen, the Syria, Saudi's war in Yemen? Clearly, it's still happening. So this is what I think this is all about. This is a political ploy, removing a few people from Syria so Trump can stand up and say, see, we're not the policemen of the world. And he may even think that. But subsidizing the militaries of rich countries such as Saudi Arabia is still well underway. Well underway, as the Congress just pretended to vote on a farm bill so they could not even allow us to discuss this. They're continuing to kill people. Families are still dying. Well into Christmas. That's the reality. So the idea that he's somehow pretending that was Mattis's choice and he didn't like that. Well, let's see if anything changes. I'm not holding my breath. But as I always point out, I'm open to it. If Trump wakes up tomorrow and just ends everything in Yemen, I'll praise him for it. But the idea of these proxy wars and everything going on around the world is still carrying on. And he's still subsidizing militaries of rich countries and allowing them to take advantage of the U.S. and our taxpayers, such as the $10.5 million that we send to Israel every single day. Simple fact. You know, but whatever. Let's not talk about that because it contradicts what the media is trying to tell you. Just close your eyes, zone out, and just listen to what Fox News and CNN want you to believe. That's what they want from you. Now, on a side, another related note that just contradicts the reality they're trying to make you believe, even the U.S. coalition is still attacking Syria. Inside of this coming from AMN, entitled Breaking, U.S. Coalition Bombs Bridge Being Reconstructed by Syrian Army in Deir Ezzor. How interesting is that? Even if it is coming to an end, the ridiculous point that it's the same way that they pretended there was a ceasefire coming and Saudis were attacking people right up into the last moment and then continued to still attack anyway. But they said, no, this is ending on Tuesday. Don't worry. They're just slipping in every possible attack they can get up into the last second. That seems to bode well. And clearly they continued. So it's kind of the same thing here, I would imagine. I first actually saw this from Saif Dean Bitar tweeting this out. So, credit where credit is due. I appreciate him always sharing some important information. It's indeed still happening. Still attacking. Now, the U.S. coalition carried out a new airstrike in the Euphrates River Valley region of Deir Ezzor over Christmas. I think Christmas Eve, late Christmas Eve night into Christmas, targeting an area near the front lines of the Syrian Arab Army, the SAA, and Syrian Democratic Forces, the SDF, the Kurdish-led SDF. Well, this is interesting. According to a military source in Damascus, the U.S. coalition bombed a bridge that links the territories controlled by the Syrian Democratic Forces and the Syrian Arab Army in western Deir Ezzor. Now, the source said that the Syrian Arab Army was recently reconstructing this bridge and was nearly finished until it was bombed by the U.S. coalition. Now, obviously, just showing you that they're bombing any actual reconstruction efforts to take place, stopping them trying to actually rebuild the country. But there's more to it than that. The U.S. coalition, of course, has not issued any statement about this bombing. They rarely do. Now, Al-Mazdar's source in Damascus said that the Syrian Arab Army believes the reason for the bombing was to prevent them from being able to cross the Euphrates River and enter into the SDF's territory. Now, you could take that as them protecting the SDF from being attacked by Syrian forces, which has happened before. Or there could be more of this going on here. We've seen the Kurds, the SDF in general, basically be abandoned by the U.S., and they've spoken out about it, saying, oh my God, this is horrible, they're leaving us behind, and Turkey's going to come in and annihilate us. And we've seen the SDF turn to Damascus, turn to Assad, and say, let's make a deal. So maybe we're seeing a deal that these people that have been left to die are turning to Syria and saying, look, we'll help you. Maybe this is them stopping them from having any kind of connection. Just hypothetically, I'm just guessing based on the information we have. But nonetheless, the real point of all of this is that the U.S. coalition is still bombing Syria. That's what's most important. The nuances of why they attacked this bridge to separate the SSA and the SDF is something you should think about and what's going on there. Either way, they're either protecting them or they're stopping them from working together. But the point is, it has nothing to do with protecting civilians. It has nothing to do with stopping gas attacks. It has nothing to do with countering Iran. It has nothing to do with every nonsense thing they throw out to tell you why they're literally doing this while they're spending our tax dollars to bomb a bridge in Syria. Ask yourself this. Why this is okay? We need to begin to realize that what's going on around the world in your name has nothing to do with any of the nonsense they tell you. And it most certainly has nothing to do with what's in your best interest as an American. Far from it. And it's time that we begin to see that. Thank you for tuning in today. Please share the information about the Israelis attacking Syria while no mainstream media decides to cover it. I wonder why. Please spread that around. Get the information out there. Thank you again for tuning in. I'll be back tomorrow for yet another show. I think I'm going to keep doing this every single day. I think I'm into that. I love you all. As always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.